Hello and welcome to Days of Our Lives, Mint's audio history series on liberalization and the ordinary man. Here, you will hear stories of how life changed for most people, be it the sunshine boy or the CEO following the reforms of 1991 in their voices.
The brief that we had from Air India is that anticipate the needs of the passenger. He shouldn't be asking you for anything. So if you feel that he's feeling hot, give him a cold towel. If you feel that he's feeling cold, tuck him in with a blanket. If you feel he's struggling to read, put his reading light on. You don't see that anymore.
Last we heard Indraneel Chitale talk about Pune's iconic Chitale group that pioneered the use of technology for sweet and savory success. Today we bring you the story of Sunita Sori Kanga, who was an air hostess with Air India from 1988 to 1996. If you're among the lucky ones who got to travel by air in the 1990s, you'd know how it was a period when air hostesses turned heads, when their style of tying saris was emulated by many young aspiring Indian women, when they were called the flying models.
All heads used to turn when the cabin crew used to walk by. I used to feel great. I used to feel like a model.
Being an air hostess in the 1980s-90s was different from being a flight attendant or a stewardess today. It wasn't just the money, which by the way was huge. It was glamour, fun, sophistication associated with the job.
What was there not to like about it? You were young, you were earning very good salaries, you were traveling around the world for free. I beg your pardon, you were not traveling around the world for free, you were being paid to travel around the world. You were staying in five-star hotels, there used to be limousines coming and picking us up. We didn't have to take care of anything. Tickets, travel, passports, everything was taken care of by the airline. And it was a glamorous job. I think for me, it was more travel and glamour. I never even thought about the money till I actually got my first salary. So it was more about the experience. You know, we were so spoiled for choice. I used to buy a moisturizer from Paris. My shampoo used to be from Tokyo. My conditioner used to be from Sydney. I used to buy a perfume on every flight. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And I now buy a perfume once in a year.
And how much did you earn then? Is this something you
We used to earn actually very well. I don't know how far it's true, but apparently our salaries were the same as an MD of a company that time.
Kanga was 6 when she knew she had to become an air hostess. Her mother's friend was an air hostess in Indian Airlines, and Kanga, swayed with her glamour, confidence, lifestyle, decided she wanted the same for herself. After passing her 10th standard, Kanga learned French. She knew an additional language would help. And geography. Geography was her favorite subject. It helped her mark places on the map that she would one day fly to. After graduation, she joined a five-star hotel. In fact, when she applied for the job of an air hostess in Air India, she wore the hotel uniform sari for the interview because she didn't have anything better to wear. Kanga tells us about the dramatic increase in her income when she switched jobs.
My first salary in the hotel when I joined was 1200 rupees a month.
What year is this?
88. And then I joined Air India, and the first flight I went out on, I earned 1000 rupees per day. After 1200 for 30 days, I got 1000 rupees a day, and I was shocked and I said, wow, this is so cool. You know, so our allowances used to be good. And of course, you have to keep in mind that we were being paid in foreign currency. So when you convert, then of course it did go up.
Remember, this was a time when there were fewer airlines. When Kanga started, there was only Air India, Indian Airlines and Vayudut. Flying was a luxurious experience that not many could afford. Most who traveled were NRIs, tourists, and of course the country's rich.
It was only the very elite people who got to fly. It was an experience to fly. People didn't have that much disposable income to travel. People used to dress up when they used to go to the airport. They would hire limousines to go to the airport. It was an occasion. You know, women used to wear their high heels and the jewelry, sit around in the lounges. Even the first class service was so grand. It was like 7 stars, you know, the best champagnes, the best drinks, the best cheeses, lobsters. So it was definitely elitist. It was not common like it is now. We used to give a personalized service, unlike the other airlines that used to serve in a trolley, which is what you see even now. When I was flying, every tray was given individually. Tablecloths were laid down. The table setting was done, and it was exclusive and a beautiful experience. There were damask napkins, there was Royal Doulton crockery, there was cutlery from the highest, the most expensive places around the world. Even things like salt and pepper shakers were kept over there for the passengers. So it was a beautiful service. With even flowers were kept on the table. So you had one single rose kept over there.
And then, of course, there were incidents that happened in those days that honestly seem unbelievable today. Can you imagine a 10-hour-long delay or a baggage loss even for the crew? Kanga tells us how all this was a norm then.
In my 8 years of flying, I only took off on time once. I remember that so vividly because we were all looking at our watches and we were saying, we are rolling on time? Really? And this was from Rome. I think it was Rome, Bombay. And we were all shocked. The crew was shocked that we're rolling on time. There's no 2 hour delay. There's no 3 hour delay. There's no 10 hour delay.
How crowded were the airports?
Not very crowded, no. Nothing like what it is today. Well, if you compare it to now, it was very plain. It wasn't as fancy. But you know, again, the furniture was ornate. Now it's like really high tech. If you see T2, T3, these are like the jaw-droppingly fabulous. Airports that time were much simpler than what it is now. There used to be a lot of baggage loss, which used to irritate the passengers a lot. Even the crew. I mean, I've lost my baggage, I don't know how many times. So you're going to Sydney and your bag has somehow landed in Tokyo. In fact, security was not the way it is now. So unlike now, you can't carry sharp objects and knives and nail files and all. I don't remember ever having a problem like that.
But becoming an air hostess was more like a dream then. They were envied as elite women. And that was actually kind of true. For some time, air hostesses belonged to a small social and ethnic pool of the society.
Initially, I mean, again, I'm talking before me. Right, before I joined, it was mostly the Parsis, and that's probably because it was a Tata airline, and the Anglo-Indians. So there used to be a lot of Parsis and a lot of Anglo-Indian girls because they came from families that were open and, you know, free and not conservative. But by the time I joined, I mean, I had Pandits and Brahmins and Muslims, and there were all sorts of girls as my batchmates. So a lot of army girls joined, a lot of rich women. Women's daughters joined for the glamour of it, because for traveling and also. I remember there used to be a cabin crew of mine who was royalty. He was from Sikkim and he was the royal family's son. And he had lied to his family. He had said that he's studying in Bombay. So all classes, everything was mixed.
Then came liberalization and things changed dramatically. For Kanga, the change was both personal and professional.
Okay, so what comes to your mind when I say liberalization?
Frankly, that I could now shop in India as well. In India, that time you could buy Parachute hair oil, you could buy Lakme lipstick, and that's about it, right? Charmist cream or Halo shampoo. We were buying all these brands all over the... So that was a huge temptation. Shopping was like a very big temptation for us because we used to have access to all this gorgeous shop. I'm talking because I was very young, right? For a 21, 22-year-old, shopping is like a big deal. And when liberalization happened, we realized that, oops, why are we wasting our hard-earned foreign currency abroad for shopping when it is available in our country cheaper? So for me, that's what liberalization meant.
Do you remember that phase at all?
You know, I was offered a job by Naresh Goyal, okay, and he was traveling as a first-class passenger, and I was serving him. He was the only one, there was no other passenger. So we got chatting and all, and he said, I really like you, you know, I'm planning to open an airline, and I want to hire people from Air India, so I'm giving you an offer. And he really pursued me, okay, he was very serious about it, but I was young, and I was frivolous, and I said, I travel around the world, I'm traveling for India's best airline, why would I want, who's ever heard of Jet Airways? Air India was this giant, and nobody really wanted to leave all those perks and try out other airlines or lesser. There were many. I remember there used to be East-West Airlines, there were Damania Airlines, there was few more that opened and closed and they came up and then shut down. But Air India is still chugging along. So I was never tempted.
Initially liberalized in 1994, the airline sector in India has seen annual passenger air traffic grow from 7.5 million domestic passengers in 1993 to 81 million passengers in 2015. Much of this has to do with the arrival of low-cost carriers in 2003-04. After that, the Indian traveller, who was used to the Maharaja style of flying, switched to the no-frills airlines. The boom of private airlines meant more jobs and obviously a need for people who could fill those jobs, not just as air hostesses or pilots, but even as ground staff. With the rise of middle-class aspirations, with the coming of more airlines, with more disposable income among Indians, the flying experience lost its charm, and so did the glamour associated with the job of these flying models.
See, Air India was always funded by the government. So I don't think the quality suffered. Now, yes. Now, if you really talk to them, when I talk to my co-crew members, it's really gone down. And there's a lot of budget constraints. And it's not what it used to be. The level of people they're hiring has also gone down. The service procedures have gone down. There are lots of cuts to save money. The cabin crew is not paid as well as, though they're still well paid, but not as well as what we used to be paid. We don't stay in the same kind of hotels that we used to stay in. We don't get enough rest. Again, they're saving on money because we used to have like really long rest periods between our flights, but they don't.
With the boom of air hostesses and innumerable air hostess training schools coming up, many women, even from small towns, who have grown up in non-English speaking homes, are entering this market now.
There are very young girls now, and well, they're well groomed. I have to give that. Sometimes in SpiceJet and Indigo and all, you wonder, like, I mean, what have they hired? Like, you know, seriously. They're professional, no doubt about it, but it's like any other job. There's no personal touch. Earlier, it was not just another job. It was glamorous. You, besides service, you also had to do flight safety. But there was a lot of focus on the glamour part, right? The flying models or whatever. Now it is like any other job. So we were called air hostesses. We were never called stewardesses. So now they're all stewardesses. They have to get back home. It's like a business, you know, it's a tuck, 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 like a factory outlet. So it's lost its charm because everything has become so short and so tight and so budgeted. So I think that whole glamour of that Royal airline that Air India used to be is now finished. It's become just any other airline.
The quality, according to Kanga, might have gone down. The job might have lost its glamour. But the fact remains that in liberalized India, the gap between dreams and realization of those dreams has narrowed, at least for the educated. Now being able to make those in-flight announcements is no longer a far-fetched dream. Interview by Ashwak Masoodi, produced by Anik Biswas.